But there's just a little bit of hope right now. Somebody that was here last week that had no hope, you came back in this week and you got a little more hope than you had last week. I just sense that. You just got some expectation rising within you. There's something just building right now in the Holy Spirit. All He's going to do, He's just going to blow. Like the breath of God is going to come in and it's going to shake everything within you that you thought could not be shaken. And everything that is unshakable that He wants to remain in you, it will remain. But the things of this world, which are easily shaken, they'll be broken off in this moment today. Let Him break it. Let Him break you. Just those last bits of the walls that you had built up around your heart to protect yourself, to guard yourself. They got broken last week. They got shattered last week, but there's still some pieces, and you're kind of contemplating, do I just start rebuilding the walls again? Do I just start putting those walls up around my heart again? Just brick by brick. Don't do it. Don't pick up another brick. Don't try to protect yourself from what God wants to do within you. It is new and it's unnatural, but I'm telling you, it's of the Spirit. His Holy Spirit wants to set you free. And that means breaking off the bricks of this world and rebuilding you. You're a man, you're a woman of the Spirit. You're no longer of the flesh. Let Him rebuild you in this moment. This week's been weird. If you got the walls broken where you felt like you couldn't hear the Lord, where you couldn't come into His presence, if you felt that last week, there was a wall-breaking moment last week. And it felt like you had had this wall between you and God, between you and the supernatural, between you and the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, that wall came down this week, and your whole life has just been noisy this week. It's been like there's a buzzing going on within you. And you don't really know everything that's going on. It's new and it's unnatural. And part of you just wants to go back to the way it was, because at least the way it was quiet. And you felt like you had some semblance of control. But I'm telling you, you've just been opened up to the supernatural. You've been opened up to the spiritual realm. Acts 16, verse 16 says this. Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this she did for many days. For many days, she just kept following them and saying this same thing over and over. "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." But Paul, after many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed. Somebody keeps doing something and saying something over and over, day after day. What happens? Some of you got young kids, you know. You get greatly annoyed. And you might be thinking, well, what's wrong with what she was saying? She was saying a good thing. But Paul knew something. Paul was greatly annoyed, and he turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. You can say the right things, but by the wrong spirit. You need to know that today. You can be saying all the right things, but if it's not by the Holy Spirit, if it's by another spirit, if it's by a lying spirit, if it's by a deceiving spirit, you're not walking with the Holy Spirit. Paul knew that, and he called it out of her in the name of Jesus. Some of you this week, you're almost annoyed at what's going on, and you're hearing all these voices, and you're hearing all these different things going on in your head, and you're a little overwhelmed, and you just want to sleep, you just want to rest, and you just want things to be quiet. I command in this moment, any spirit that's not the Holy Spirit, to leave in the name of Jesus, go. Just go. Get out right now in the name of Jesus. I command right now, leave. It's gone. Right now, you're going to hear from the Holy Spirit in this room. As you leave this place, as you continue to submit to the Holy Spirit's voice, you're going to hear His voice. You're not going to hear the lying voice. You're not going to hear the deceiving voice. You're going to begin to discern his voice. Leave in the name of Jesus. Go. Calm. Calm. She was never the same after that moment. You're not going to be the same after this moment. Holy Spirit, come. Let's pray. Father God, I just pray for peace in this room. Lord, I pray for a new level of wisdom and understanding and discernment over people in this room. Lord Jesus, I pray that they would not rebuild those walls around their heart, but that they would continue to learn to walk with you in the Spirit. That they would know that what's going on in the Spirit is more real, more precious, more valuable than anything that goes on in the flesh where we can see, touch, taste, feel, and hear. Lord Jesus, I pray that our senses would become attuned to your Holy Spirit. Jesus, I pray that we would submit to your voice in this moment. Holy Spirit, come, have your way with us. Jesus, in your mighty name we pray. Amen. First Samuel chapter 4 says this. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines encamped in Aphek. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. And when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines?" The elders of Israel, they said this, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubim, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, and there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. We've been in this series called Honor. And I keep feeling the Holy Spirit drawing me back to this story of Eli and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. They were the priests. They were the priests. But somewhere along the way, Eli lost control of his sons. And I believe it happened when he lost control of himself, because at the end of this chapter, you find out that at the end of his age, Eli had gotten old and he'd gotten heavy. Somewhere along the way, he'd lost self-control. When we start to lose self-control, we lose control of those who have been entrusted to us, those that we are supposed to steward. If you cannot steward your own life well, how are you to steward the lives of your kids, of your wife, of your employees, of your team? I don't know, your students. I don't know who you are or what you're doing here today, but I'm glad you're here, because he's got a word for you. He's going to teach you, steward your own life, and then you'll be able to steward everyone else that I've entrusted you with. There are people that God will entrust you with in this world. And some of you might be sitting here today thinking, he hasn't entrusted me with anybody. I don't lead anybody. I'm on my own. Let me tell you something. Begin to steward your own life, and he'll trust you with more. Your life will never look the same as you begin to steward your own life well. Steward what you eat. Steward how you spend. Steward your time. You have control. Nobody is making you do anything. Nobody is making you eat Cheetos. I promise you. You're like, no, the devil is. No, he isn't. Did the devil make Cheetos? Probably. But he didn't make you. He can't force your hand to grab those Cheetos. He can't force your hand to grab that ice cream. Begin to learn to control yourself. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. How do I do that? It's supernatural. I'm telling you, it is supernatural. So I would tell you very first and foremost, if you've never made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, if you've never invited the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within you, that would be your first step. You can do that today. We'll have a ministry time moment at the end of service. If you want to come up and you just want prayer, you want to say a prayer of faith and just invite Jesus in, you can do that today. It's encouraged. It's celebrated. There's no shame in stepping forward. When you take a step forward in revival, it's a step of obedience, and people don't look at you and gawk and be like, what's that person doing? What are they doing walking forward? No. They look at you and they celebrate. In fact, actually, most people won't even look at you because they're too busy praising the Lord. That's what we do, because we know when we gather, He's here in the midst. He dwells within you, and then when we gather, where two or more are gathered, He comes down in the midst of His people. He's here. And so we acknowledge His presence. Somewhere along the way, Eli stopped stewarding his own life, and he stopped stewarding the lives of his two sons. It says his two sons, they were also priests. What did they do? They were taking advantage of the people. They were stealing from the people, and they were sleeping with women who came to make sacrifices at the temple. They were standing outside the doors of their church, and they were hitting on the ladies walking in. They were hitting on the ladies walking in. And then they were going and doing a different kind of worship. A worship that's between husband and wife, all right? Don't do that kind of worship unless you're married, in covenant, all right? That's what they were doing. Somewhere along the way, Eli lost control of his house because he lost control of his own life. He stopped hearing the word of the Lord. It says that the word of the Lord in those days, it was not often. It was few and far between. Why? Because as a people, they'd begun a slow drift into disobedience. Most people don't just take a hard right off the road of obedience and just go into the road of disobedience. Most of the time, it's a slow drift. It just happens little by little, gradual, inch by inch, until you don't even realize you're not on the same road anymore. You're driving a different path. You took the wrong exit somewhere along the way because you stopped being intentional with your life and with your choices. Today, some of you, I want to tell you made an intentional choice to be here today. Praise the Lord, because God is going to do something in your life. Some of you, He already did something. Some of you, you got set free from something. You got set free from this ringing and this. I told you, I was hearing this. Some of you, you had this incessant ringing, like too many voices shouting all at once going on in your head. And all of a sudden today, you came in here by obedience, just looking for a miracle, and you got healed. You got delivered. Somebody got delivered today. And I'm praising the Lord for you. Because all of a sudden, you can hear clear. And all of a sudden, when you used to come and hear somebody read the word, or when you used to open up the word, it just used to look like it just, you couldn't even focus, you couldn't even pay attention, and it was just confusing and hard to understand. All of a sudden, it makes sense, and you understand because you're listening, and the Holy Spirit is giving you revelation. It's supernatural what has happened to you today. You made a choice. You're here. You're changing your life. You're changing the direction of your life. And you're changing the direction of the lives who God has placed under you. And maybe it's lives that you don't even know yet. Maybe some of you, you're single and you haven't even met your future wife, your future spouse, whoever it is. And you don't even know that you're going to have kids someday. But because you made this choice to be intentional and be here in the room today, you're going to meet a spouse and you're going to have kids, and your generations are going to be transformed supernaturally from generation to generation. It will never look the same. You're breaking off generational curses just because you took a step of obedience to be here today. Keep taking that step. Keep going forward. Walk in obedience. Obedience changes everything. Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas, these people, They were the leaders of the temple. They were the leaders of worship. They were the priests. And so here they are. They lost the war and they say, hey, let's bring in Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas. They thought they can just recreate what had brought victory in the past. They knew the history of their people. They knew, oh, if we just bring the priest out, if we just bring the Ark of the Covenant out, when we know the stories of the past, when you go back to the old stories, even older than this, some of you are like, I've never even read the Old Testament. You're in 1 Samuel. I don't know where that is. Praise the Lord, you're here. I'm so glad you're here. You're going to learn today. It's back near the beginning. There's stories even further back than that. It's the history of God's people. Guess what? If you have given your life to Jesus, you're a part of God's people. You've been grafted in. You've been adopted by the blood of Jesus. And so now their history is your history. Begin to learn it. I feel the Holy Spirit. Ooh, he's coming in here. He's coming in here right now. Woo, Lord, come on. So I know I got one guy with me. It's all right. If you want to holler, if you're feeling it today, if you're feeling it, like you can holler back. All you're doing is coming into agreement with God's word. When we say amen, when we clap, when we hoot, we holler, it's not about Pastor Alex. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's about giving Jesus the glory. And so that's what we're doing. You're just helping me preach. You're helping me preach better when you come into alignment with his word. And I feel my hand it's numb already, and I don't know what's going on. The Holy Spirit is moving. He's here today. I'm telling you. Stop and pray. Jesus, I don't know what you're doing right now, but I feel a slight resistance, and I feel like you're trying to just get in right now to somebody's heart. And somebody, if you're feeling something in your left hand, if you're feeling that, this is for you right now. I believe he wants you to know this is for you right now. Stop resisting. Just breathe out. Break. Break. In the name of Jesus, leave. Father God, thank you for freedom. Thank you for peace in our hearts. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would begin to flow easier through that person's heart right now. I want them to feel the warmth of your Holy Spirit, your presence, your love for them, just wrapping them up right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Amen. They thought they could just go back and recreate how they had won victory in the past. They thought it doesn't matter. All the people knew about Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas. All the people knew what was going on in that family. But they said, it doesn't matter. It's okay. All we got to do is just get them here and we'll get a victory over the Philistines. We just got to get them here. That was what they believed. Because they had seen it happen that way in the past. Sometimes God has shown up for you in the past and you think, oh, if I can just recreate that, if I can just do everything the same way I did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, if I can just recreate all those little things and everything will come into alignment, God will show up and he'll bring me victory again. No. His presence, we honor his presence through submission, through obedience. His presence is about submission, not superstition. When you try to recreate, when you try to put God in a box and say, oh, when I did that 5, 10, 15 years ago, he showed up. If I just do that again, if I recreate everything, you're not worshiping God. You're worshiping superstition. That's all you're trying to do. You're just trying to recreate what worked before. What worked before isn't going to work in this next season if you're still walking in disobedience. Too many of us, we just keep walking in the same disobedience and the same lies and the same sin, but expecting God to show up the same way. And he's saying, no, this is new. This is a new season. And there's a new way I want to show up, but I won't show up until you honor me. Our obedience, our submission to his word, that is how we honor the Lord. And too many of us are continuing to walk in the same sin, in the same disobedience, and expecting him to show up and bail us out again like he's done before, like he's done in the past, and it's become superstition. He's not showing up because you got your lucky cross on. He's not showing up because you're wearing your I Love Jesus shirt. No, no, no. He's showing up because you walk in repentance and you choose to obey his word rather than anything the world's been telling you, rather than any lie the devil's been whispering to you. When you step into obedience, that will shift and change your life. Superstition will do nothing for you. It's witchcraft. That's what they did right there. It was witchcraft. They said, it doesn't matter how Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas are living. It doesn't matter that they're disobedient. It doesn't matter that they don't care what the Lord's word says. If we just get them to show up, the Lord will show up. 1 Samuel 4, verse 5. And when the ark of the covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Do you remember that? Do you remember that story I preached a little bit on last week? What was it? The walls of Jericho. What did the people do? They walked around the walls. And what did they do at the end of 7 days? At the end of the seven laps around, what did they do? They shouted and the walls came down. These people were living in the past. They were living on their great grandfather's obedience. Some of you are here today and you're living on your parents or your grandparents or your great grandparents' obedience. They said yes to the Lord. So you think, oh, I'm good. I'm in. I don't need to do anything. I don't need to change my life. I can keep doing what I'm doing. I was born a Christian. No, 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 no. That's not how it works. You don't live off of their obedience. You get to live in a fresh new obedience, a fresh new relationship, walking with him for yourself. Stop living off your parents' faith. Stop living off your grandparents' faith. Get your own faith in this season. If you want some, you're in the right place. There's faith in this house. There's miracles in this house. That's what happens. We've only seen the first fruits of what I believe is the beginning of a crazy revival in this country and in this world. In fact, I would tell you, in the world, worldwide, across the seas, they're seeing all kinds of crazy miracles break out through the Holy Spirit. Here in the West, what did we do? We got a little arrogant here in the West for a while, and we began to explain God away. We began to excuse him away. We began to talk him out of our culture. And what did we really do? We just tried to put it in terms that we could just understand, terms that were safe. We're not in a safe time period anymore. He's breaking out again. And we're seeing the first fruits in our country. We're seeing the first fruits of revival moving. And there's miracles coming. And there's things that people will not be able to explain away anymore, except by God, except by Jesus, except by the power of the Holy Spirit. You get to be a part of that. That's what you're invited into. You get to be a part of it. It's an open invite. Jesus, let us be excited for this. Lord Jesus, prepare our hearts for what you have for us in this next season. 1 Samuel 4, verse 5, and when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Now when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what does the sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean? They understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. So the Philistines were afraid. They'd heard the stories. They knew all the stories. They knew all the stories that the Israelites knew. They knew it all. And they said, woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Woe to us, who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews as they have been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight. They knew the stories, but they still chose to fight. The Israelites knew the stories. They knew the past. They knew the history, but still chose to walk in disobedience. Number two, past prescriptions don't solve current disobedience. Some of you keep living on a past prescription. You keep living on something that you know worked in the past. a place, an area, something you said, a prayer. You keep saying the same prayer over and over because one time God showed up, one time God moved. That's what the Israelites were doing here. They knew that one time a shout had brought the walls of Jericho down. They knew that carrying the ark to battle had won the victory before. If we just do it like we used to do it, if we just go back and do every step the way he showed us, if we just wear what we used to wear, if we just walk how we used to walk, if it wasn't about obedience, it will not change the outcome. He's looking for a people that will honor him in obedience. We cannot control and manipulate the power of God. That's what superstition tries to do. That's what witchcraft tries to do. Witchcraft thinks it can control and manipulate through power, supernaturally. But it has no power in comparison to the presence of the living God. 1 Samuel 4, verse 10. So the Philistines fought and Israel was defeated. It was that simple. They fought and they were defeated. Every man fled to his tent. There was a great slaughter. And there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. Also, the ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Number three, people perish where there's no vision. Proverbs 29, verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, the people groan. What had happened? What had happened in Israel? Were there righteous men in authority? No. Wicked men ruled. Wicked men led. That's what Eli, Hophni, and Phinehas were. They were wicked. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked rule, the people groan. There was defeat. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Unless you're walking in the light, in the glory of Christ, you are walking blind through this world. Proverbs 29, 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You are saved by grace. That's what Jesus did. That's what his death on the cross did. It set you free. You're saved by grace. But if you are saved by grace and continue to walk in disobedience, if you continue to walk in the same sin of the world, the same darkness, and keep choosing not to walk in the freedom that he has for you, because that's what the law is. The law is freedom. And he that keepeth the law, happy is he. There's joy in the law. There's joy in obedience. When you're walking in obedience, it will change your life. That's what Proverbs is. Proverbs just keeps breaking it down time and time again. It's so simple. Look here. I didn't have this one in here for you. But just go. If you got your Bibles, just go. Go back to Proverbs really quick. Look for Psalms right after that. There's just so many little things here that you'll see. If you would just start to walk in the wisdom of the Lord, your life will be better. That's what Solomon keeps telling us all throughout Proverbs. You can just go, you start jumping around and you land on one and you're going to find, oh, there's wisdom right here. If I would walk with wisdom, if I would walk with the Lord, if I would walk in obedience, there's a promise that my life is going to be better. Look at Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2, verse 4. If you seek her, talking about wisdom, as silver, and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. You will understand the fear of the Lord. And find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He's protection. Wouldn't the Israelites have liked some protection in that moment when they're losing the battle? Wouldn't it have been nice to have a supernatural shield from the Lord? But no, they had chosen to not chase, to not seek wisdom. So there was no shield, there was no protection for them. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. There it is. It's a simple command. It's all throughout Scripture. That's the tithe. We talk about it all the time here. Honor the Lord with the first fruits of your possessions. Honor him. And with the first fruits of your increase. Some of us, we got it's a new year. Some of you came into this new year, and wherever you work, I don't know where it is, but you got some kind of raise. You got some kind of bonus. And I just felt like my wife and I, we were blessed. We got a raise. We got an increase this year. And I felt right off the bat, as we were entering this honor series, he said, give the first fruit of your increase. How do you start to discern the voice of the Holy Spirit? That's what I felt him saying. When you open up his word and you can see it right there in black and white, you know that's from him. It's really simple. Just start to open his word and you'll know when he's speaking to you. He's always speaking. You'll start to hear and discern his word more clearly. I felt that so strongly. And he wasn't saying give 10% of the increase for us. I felt him saying give it. Like everything that you just got the increase, give the increase. Give it to start the year. Because it shows him honor. It shows him where you place him. And what happens? It says, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. If it feels like you're barely making it, if it feels like you're barely surviving, if it feels like you're living paycheck to paycheck, if it feels like you cannot get out of debt, I would just challenge you. What if you started to actually do what his word says? What if in 2025 you just took a chance and started to test him and see if he's good. Test him and see if his word isn't true. If his promises, if he will not remain faithful on them. We do this all the time. We say this here all the time. We have a giving guarantee. If you start to give here, if you give for a month and your life isn't better, you don't see results, you don't see more joy, you don't see more freedom in your finances, you don't think that it's making a difference in your life spiritually, everything, we'll give it right back to you. You come find me, you come find one of our elders, Brandon, Justin, whoever. But like, just take the month-long tithing challenge here. And if you give for a month and you find out like, man, this is not working. My life is not better. My vats are not overflowing. I don't see my barns being filled with plenty. Come tell us. We'll give you that money right back. We don't want your money. We want you to be blessed. That's what we want. There's a blessing when you give. That's what we want for you. Guess what? I keep saying this. I dare somebody to take me up on it. Nobody's ever taken me up on it. Anybody that's ever taken the tithing challenge, they've never come back to me and said, I want my money back. Not once. I dare somebody. Come, like, do it. Try me for a month. And if your life isn't better, come tell me. We will write you a check. We'll cut it right back to you, happily. And we'll pray for you, and we'll pray a blessing for you. But I'm telling you, the Lord comes through every time. Because that's who he is. He doesn't let you down. 1 Samuel 4, verse 12. They lost the battle. Hophni and Phinehas are dead. It says this, a man of Benjamin ran from the battle line the same day, and he came to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dirt on his head. Now when he came, there was Eli sitting on a seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. When Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, what does the sound of this tumult mean? And the men came quickly and told Eli. Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see. Then the man said to Eli, I am he who came from the battle and fled today from the battle line. And he said, what happened, my son? So the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there's been a great slaughter among the people. Also, your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God has been captured. Then it happened when he made mention of the ark of God that Eli fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken and he died, for the man was old and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Verse 19. Now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, due to be delivered, and when she heard the news that the ark of God was captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and gave birth, for her labor pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women who stood by her said to her, do not fear, for you have borne a son. But she did not answer, nor did she regard it. Then she named the child Ichabod, saying, the glory has departed from Israel, because the ark of God has been captured, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, the glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured. They had lost the fear of the Lord. When you step into disobedience, you lose the fear of the Lord. You take him for granted. You take him for a good luck charm. You take him for a superstition. You take him for a tradition. You take him for a birthright. If that's you today, I would just challenge you. This is a moment to just repent and to move forward and say, Lord, I want to walk with you all the days of my life. I don't want the glory to ever depart. I want to walk in your presence. I want to live in your presence. I want to invite you to come and make a home within my heart, because I want to be a temple of your Holy Spirit who lives within your people. You can invite him in today. Worship team, would you come up as we get ready to close? This is a moment for you. If you've been living off tradition, if you've been living off superstition, if you've been living off what you thought was a birthright and not your own relationship to the Holy Spirit, I just want to tell you today, repentance is not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. Repentance is just saying, listen, I was going this direction. I don't want to go this direction anymore. I was walking on my own. I was disregarding you. I was using you. I was taking you for granted, Lord. Lord, I just want to walk with you and talk with you. I want to walk in obedience to your voice all the days of my life. That's what repentance is. You are going one way and you're saying, I want to go the other way. That's what you can do today. Our ministry team, I'm going to invite them up. They're going to be up here near the front. If you need prayer today, I'll tell you, come and receive prayer. Come and pray with somebody today. Some of you, you're here today and you're saying, that's Old Testament. I just want to read this to you from the New Testament before we get into worship. Acts 5, verse 1. This is after Jesus has come. This is after the Holy Spirit has fallen upon God's people. Says this, a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, they sold a possession and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it. And they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. What they did, they sold some land and they held back a little for themselves, but they brought the money to the apostles and they said, this is all of it. That's what they were doing here. Because they cared about what people thought of them. They cared about their reputation. They cared about what people looked and saw when they saw them. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. And some of you are thinking, this man gave money to the church. This man gave money to the apostles. He did a good thing. You can do a good thing by the wrong spirit. You can say a good thing, but it's the wrong spirit. If it's not the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray no other spirit but the Holy Spirit. We're about to sing that in worship in this moment. No other spirit but the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve His Spirit. Don't grieve His presence. Honor Him. Honor Him through your words. Honor Him through the truth. Honor Him through your actions. Honor Him through your obedience. There's no small words. There's no small actions. What you bind on earth, you bind in heaven. What you loose on earth, you loose in heaven. He fell down dead. And great fear came upon those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down dead at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead and carried her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. Would you stand up? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray for fresh fear in this room. Lord Jesus, I pray for a fresh fear and a fresh fire to fall in this room, on this people in this moment, that there would be repentance in this moment, that we would turn back to you in this moment, that where we've been grieving you, where we've been lying, where we've been deceiving, that we would not listen to any other spirit but your spirit in this moment, that we would praise you, that we would honor you, that we would acknowledge your spirit, that we would acknowledge your presence here in this room, that we would acknowledge you in every action and every word. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would fall like fresh fire in this moment.